I'm Jen, she's Lex, and we are the Bachelorettes. On this week's episode, we are discussing episodes 2 and 3 of season 8 of Bachelor in Paradise. And honestly, can this episode just be called Romeo Does Shit? Because this really is just... And you all know we love Romeo here on this podcast, but his decisions for these two episodes really carry the entire episode across, if I do say so myself.
Honestly, yeah, him, I was just like, what is he doing? Like, honestly, Romeo may be the most clueless man that I have ever seen on this show. And there have been a lot of clueless men.
but here's the thing. At least Romeo is not dumb. And Jacob is definitely dumb, which we will get into also in our discussions.
Girl.
Jacob is Tarzan. Just in case people don't know, Jacob is Tarzan. So
yes.
How do we even... Okay, so where we left off was Victoria F. was coming down the steps. But where the episode started wasn't with Victoria coming down the steps. They tried to make Haley a thing this whole episode too. And I was like, stop trying to make Fetch a thing. Stop it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't... It's weird to me, like, looking back, now that we've finished watching these past two episodes, it's like, why do we focus so much on Haley? Like, nothing... happened like she was there and then she was not, but this girl got so much screen time. Like,
I mean, I guess all the screen time
deal with the editors, like,
she did it's all the screen time she didn't get when she was on The Bachelor, considering she went home that one.
Exactly. And it's like, we have seen this happen before, right? Where people of color have gone home night one, been on Paradise, and it was like, are they there? Like, this episode, I was like, hold up, when did Brittany get here? I did not know Brittany was
Brittany
on the-
was Brittany was there last week, bro. Brittany was there episode one.
I did not remember. I saw her, and I was like, whoa, where did you come from? Why wasn't she giving screen time? Like, I don't...
Listen,
Haley was given a lot of screen time. Let's just
For nothing, okay? Absolutely. Because that's why when the rose ceremony happened, I was genuinely perplexed. I didn't even know that connection was a thing. There was no conversation that we saw between who Brittany got her rose from. Sure, spoiler, Brittany gets a rose. No one... y'all watch the episode. Y'all fucking know.
It was very confusing. It was very... like, I'm still confused.
You're confused. I'm fucking confused, bro.
was like, oh, okay. So, but I don't even have any notes about Haley, to be honest with you.
Know what? I'll give Haley's entire arc for the two episodes. I'll just give it to her. I'll tell you that she went home. That's all that matters at the end of this, right? Mm-hmm. Haley got sent home at the rose ceremony, just like I knew she would. I had predicted this from jump. Mm-hmm. So, number one, Haley apparently is into Logan. If you had seen episode one, you could see that Logan's kind of considered a hot commodity for reasons that I do not understand.
Yeah, I had to ask, like, what is the appeal? And 99% of people were like, we don't know. So, good to know, people.
That man must have a huge fucking dick. That's all I gotta say. His dick must be huge. It must be literally trailing behind him. Because the way they're talking about Logan, like he is the second coming of Christ, that dick must bomb.
Exactly.
Better be bomb.
I honestly don't know what it is. Like, Lace wanted him, Haley wanted him, Shanae wanted him, somebody else. And it was like, somebody tweeted us actually and said he looked like a discount Matthew McConaughey. And I was like, yeah, I agree. And I don't even think Matthew McConaughey is that attractive, to be honest.
I mean, I think it's an insult to Matthew McConaughey to put the two in the same sentence. Like, I think it's actually an insult to Matthew McConaughey at this point. And this is not to say that he is not attractive. Like, Logan is attractive to some people.
Yes.
And I will never take that away from them. Mm-hmm. However, what I am saying is that the proportion of Logan is so awesome to, like, actual factual what makes him so awesome, I have yet to see it.
Exactly. And, or the proportion of women interested in Logan to Logan's attractiveness is off, especially considering other men on the beach. Like, that to me is actually off.
that's off. So we see in episode 2 that Logan and Shanae actually have a little something something. They're spending time together, having a little tundra for each other. And you know what?
I like it for Shanae. And we'll get back to Shanae a bit more later. But pretty much, Haley's hating from outside the club because she can't even get in. She's convinced herself that she and Logan had this very romantic interaction the day before, even though we never saw them talking on camera. Just for context, the editing made her look crazy. It made her look like some kind of misery. You know, misery where she kidnapped the writer and the whole thing. That's what Haley's acting like. Because she's like, oh my God, Logan and I had this really great connection. This really great whatever. I can't wait. You know, it sucks that Shanae's monopolizing all his time. She's forcing him to talk to her. And I'm like, are we watching the same interactions?
Me too. I was like, girl, I don't know, because he don't look like he's forced. He does not look like he's being forced.
I mean, there's actually a scene where Kaylee's in the ITM being like, oh, Shanae is like forcing herself on Logan. And we see Haley, Shanae, and Logan sitting like poolside. And then Logan says, Shanae, get over here, like get closer to me. And make Shanae come and sit closer to him. And Haley's just sitting there like, oh yeah, it's all Shanae's doing. And I'm like, girl, are you okay? Do you need some help? Do you need a doctor for your delusion? Because this is not... So this episode also involves Genevieve spiraling for two episodes, which we'll also get into, like I said.
Yeah, we'll get
So Haley and Genevieve are twins in this moment. Mm-hmm. Haley's egging Genevieve on because she needs company and misery loves company, right? I just said she was like misery. So we go through this whole process where she believes that Logan is the one. Logan chooses Shanae, obviously, over and over again. So Haley is like, well, you know what? Jacob and I have this really great connection too. I think he could be the one for me. And so Jacob, aka Tarzan, aka boy, I mean, sweetie, okay. she tries to force a connection here. And she says that, you know, she's looking for a husband, et cetera, et cetera. And Jacob says, do you think I could be that guy for you? And instead of answering, she kisses him. And I was like, great deflection, girl. No, the man is not up to your intellectual caliber, and I appreciate you for not lying to his face.
Right?
But guess what? At the end of the day, Jacob still did not choose her. Yeah. Because there were two better options for him to choose from, and he chose one of the two better options. Mm-hmm. So, bye-bye, Haley. You've gotten more time on this episode than you've ever gotten anywhere on the Bachelor franchise. You're welcome.
We are confused. We are utterly confused, but you know what? You gave the producers what they wanted, and you got some screen time, girl. Congratulations.
Congratulations. So now that we're done talking about Haley... we can talk about everything
else.
We can
move on to the show, yes.
You know, Victoria Fuller coming down the steps. Mm-hmm. Now, we remember that Victoria did that modeling for that White Lives Matter fishing thing.
That's the only thing I think of when I see her. I'm like, she was a Confederate model. She was a Confederate model. But people absolutely, like, love her.
They love her. You know what else I think about? Her not even letting Peter meet her parents and, like, starting a fight with him on the doorsteps. That's a wait, hold on. No.
I don't think she started a fight. I think he, because somebody sent the YouTube link to me. Because I was like, oh, Victoria F is techie man, who knew? And somebody sent the YouTube link and they were like, actually, we knew since Peter's season. And so he approached her on the doorsteps that she had about her breaking up somebody. How about her being a homewrecker, basically. And she was like, oh my God, why would you think that of me? Well, this girl definitely has the capability of breaking up somebody's home.
But I guess so. He didn't even meet her parents, and she still got to like the final three.
Yes.
That was the wildest part.
What a season. What a season. And then did he end up eliminating her or did she just end up leaving?
I can't remember if he eliminated her or she left, but at the end of it was like, you know, Maddie and what's her name?
The girl. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The super Christian one and the other super Christian one.
You know, the only reason I remember Maddie is because of her really cringy current fiance, who she's marrying at the end of this month, by the way, in Bachelor Nation news, unrelated to the show.
Really?
Yeah, fun fact, you're getting married on October 29th. Marry into that billionaire money, baby. Anyway, Victoria F coming down the steps. Victoria F is attractive. But the second that people see her, literally, they start losing their shit. All the girls are going like into panic mode, like, oh my God, she's so attractive. And so they're so insecure. And I'm like, huh? I mean, some of y'all are baddies. What are you worried about?
It's the way they all just like panicked. And I honestly don't think they just panicked because of how she looked. I think they panicked because of her status. Like, Victoria F has like a million followers on Instagram. And, you know, they all, that's all they care about, honestly, in this world. Yeah. Really, this world is the game of Instagram followers. And in this world, Victoria F is like bachelor celebrity. So it's like, oh my God, I like all of these guys are going to want to go for her because that's instant celeb. Like if they end up, if something ends up being something with them, you know?
But, yeah, I so can see that.
She walks in like, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, I'm that bitch.
She is. And she's actually closer to Lace in terms of like, relevance, if that makes sense, than she is to any of these people. Because even though she's super popular on Instagram, think of it, Peter's season was a while back. Peter's season was not yesterday. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she is still able to bring this kind of heat to the beach, and then this is also where we find out that she actually has mutual friends with like Justin and Andrew S and whatever, whatever, which I have questions about that there. But you know what? I'll speculate about that later. So she comes down and of course she pulls the guys that she thinks is attracted to talk to them. Now, I think that she pulls every guy because there are not that many. There are 9 guys. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she pulls all of them to have conversations because they never usually show this, but I'm pretty sure that the person who comes down the steps talks to everybody to kind of figure out how they feel. Mm-hmm. So she pulls, we see the conversation with Jacob, we see it with Johnny, and we see it with Justin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Jacob, Johnny, Justin. And Justin.
I thought it was Logan. I put Logan and Johnny.
Actually,
and Justin,
actually,
honestly,
yes.
I mix those guys up all
actually,
the time.
Actually, yes. So it was Logan. It was Logan. It was Logan.
Yeah.
It
I mix Logan and Jacob up all the time. I honestly don't know. And I mix Johnny. Who is Johnny? Like, honestly, I.
No idea.
Anyway.
It actually was Logan.
On the beach and I mixed them up. Okay, it was Logan. Okay,
cool. It was Logan. You're right. You're right. Because she said, oh, my eyes immediately went to you. And I was like, why? But that's
girl.
Why. If she had said that about Jacob, I would have understood. He's aesthetically, you know, like pleasing, I guess.
Yeah.
So she talks to Logan. Seems like it's a maybe, but we know from the preview she's going on this date with Justin. Like, we know they told us at the beginning of the season what was going to happen. So I know that she's doing all this to go on a date with Justin. So we see her talking to Johnny, and it actually is like sparks right away there, which was very interesting to me. I was like, oh, okay, well, this puts credence to the rumors that I've heard about what happens on Paradise. All right.
Girl, what does Johnny look like? You would never believe I watched this show.
It's the rap, the one that was rapping on episode 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just got to Google real quick because it's like, I just keep confusing these white men. But yeah, continue.
So she and Johnny seem to have a kind of instant connection, which again, was surprising, but because the flirtation was just very different. And I was like, you know what? I can kind of see this. So then she talks to Justin and, you know, she's an air sign. Justin's an air sign. She's a Libra. He's a Gemini. Mm-hmm. So air sign quirkiness going together. You can tell they have a similar sense of humor. They will have fun on this date. So I think she chooses Justin based on the fun capacity where it's like, you know, I can get to know him. This could be great. And I will also have fun. So they go on a date. By the way, Genevieve is already spiraling. From the second Victoria
from
F
the
comes
minute,
up.
Yes. Not even from the minute she enters the beach, Genevieve's like, oh my God, what if I don't get a rose tomorrow? It's like, girl, why didn't you just immediately go there? And so like Victoria F takes Justin on the beach and Genevieve's upset. She's like, I'm not going to get a rose tomorrow and it's my birthday. And it's like, girl, like, chill, bring it down like 10 notches, please.
she's at a DEFCON 50 million at this moment, and we're just like, girl, this is not even a sprinkle. Like, what are you doing?
I know. He just gets asked on a date, and this girl legit starts hyperventilating. I kid you not, she goes to the bathroom and she starts hyperventilating, like full on panic attack because just
boohoo sobbing. Boohoo, yes. Sabin, and everything.
Over a man she met yesterday.
So there, Justin and Victoria are going to get ready for the date. And he sees Genevieve right there. Because I guess he'd also heard that Genevieve was there in the girls' room, right? Mm-hmm. So he, you know, Victoria F goes to get ready alone. Justin goes to talk to Genevieve. And he's like, listen, it's early on in paradise. I would want you to say yes to a date as well. Like, if mm-hmm. this was a thing that we were at, we've had a good conversation. Remember, it's only been one day. So this is literally day two on paradise. So exactly. It's only been one day. Exactly. So he's like, I would want you to explore something as well. He's like, I'd prefer if we went on a date and then came back to each other as opposed to this mm-hmm. being, you know, whatever. And she is spiraling. He still goes on the date anyway because he's like, she's tripping. Like,
exactly. She is. She's absolutely like, she. And then we proceed to see this girl's mental health just degrade over the next course of a couple of hours. Like, that's just really
hours.
What
hours.
Hours of her just mentally torturing herself along with Haley, who was also torturing herself.
Yeah. And pressing Andrew S. for information about Victoria and if Justin likes Victoria. He's like, I don't want you to break his confidence, but like also break his confidence and tell me everything. Like, do they know each other? What's going on? Do you think he likes her? And Andrew is like, you have nothing to worry about. You will be fine. Justin and Victoria, we have mutual friends in common. I can see why they would have fun on this date, but you have mm-hmm. nothing to worry about. Like, literally, mm-hmm. he's like, you have nothing to worry about. Relax. So he's saying everything he can say without outing his boy that, yes, while Justin does find Victoria attractive and will have fun on this date with her, that he has feelings for Genevieve. So, mm-hmm. like, chill. She does not listen. She does not listen. She does not chill. She spends the whole day freaking the fuck out.
Fucking date talking to anyone who would listen about how much she's freaked out and how much she's not gonna get a rose tomorrow and how it's her birthday tomorrow and she's just not gonna have a good day because she's not gonna get a rose. And I'm like, girl, you're manifesting this. Shut up.
Shut up. Right? So while this is happening, you know, Haley, of course, is stoking this fire. And Genevieve is like, ugh, like, of course, Shanae's like stealing Logan from you. And I'm like, they're not doing anything. Literally, they're out there having fun. Yes. And then eventually Genevieve kind of realizes, okay, well, it seems that Logan actually likes Shanae. So it's fine. Shanae's not here starting drama. As long as she stays away from me, it's fine. You know,
like Logan and Shanae went for a nice swim in the beach, talking to each other. We see them kiss in the ocean and everybody's like, aw. And Haley's like, fuck.
Yep. Yep. Who was she? I think it was Brandon who was like, oh, chill. Like, if you want to talk to him, you can totally pull him. And then they look over and they're kissing. He was like, my bad. I think I did that.
Decides she will still pull him and talk. Like, Haley decides, like, it's not over. She's mm-hmm. gonna talk to him.
It's not over till I say it's over.
And then and then Shanae gets a date card. And who do you think she has?
And who you think says yes? And who says yes?
Exactly. So he says yes. And so it's kind of like nail in the coffin, girl. Shanae got this one.
Listen, and she pulled him, I think, before Shanae got the date card. And she was kind of like, oh, yeah, I've been wanting to talk to you today. And he was like, yeah. Like, Logan is absolutely disinterested. I have never seen, like, you know how we talked about last season, how Brendan seemed interested in Natasha despite what happened with the whole Piper mm-hmm. thing? Mm-hmm. He wasn't even pretending to be
not
interested.
Even,
Logan was just, like, staring up in space. And then she was like, oh, you know, like, I'm in my shell like a snail. He's like, I think you mean a turtle. And she's like, it's a metaphor. So I'm just like, oh.
It's not clicking, Haley. It's
Logan was not. He was not with it. No. And so Haley desperately wanted this date card to take Logan on a date. And then, of course, Shanae gets the card. Shanae and Logan go on the date. They have a fantastic time, by the way. They mm-hmm. go dancing and drinking like at a local bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have so much fun and they have a great conversation. And Logan mm-hmm. is very sweet to Shanae. He's kind of like, you know, I've been waiting to like meet you and it's been wonderful seeing you come out of your shell. I just want to make you laugh. I just want to make you smile. All the nice things. And I'm just like, okay, Logan got a little game somehow, you know? And I think it's easier for him with Shanae because she has such a negative reputation. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious.
Kind of does too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Switching from Gabby to Rachel, switching from Rachel to Gabby kind of thing. So they're both kind of quote unquote bad reputation people mm-hmm. in the franchise right now. So it's good seeing them come together. It reminds me of Goose and Crystal. Crystal from Ari's season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are they still married? No,
they're divorced. They're divorced. She has a whole ass baby with another a whole ass new man.
Couple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were something else though. They were something else.
Yeah.
So I mean, but that makes they're, sense.
So, you know, it was one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, this could mm-hmm. be a pairing. And I'm happy for Shanae that he makes her happy. Right. And remember, I've said this on the stories. I did not watch Blatton season. I know that Shanae was terrible on Blatton season. I mean, so was Victoria F on Peter season, to be honest. Like, some of these people were actually terrible on their seasons. What they said cannot be excused, mm-hmm. but I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt right now because I haven't seen any such negative behavior. Yeah. And I assume that she has apologized and all of this stuff from her previous interactions. If I am wrong, feel free to let me know, but I think she's apologized and is just trying to be different and better and not be the drama. Right. Because don't worry, Romeo is handling that for her.
And I feel like maybe some of the drama may have been producers egging her on the show. Like, I feel like at least for the villains, you know, who appear repeatedly on different seasons, I think once they get past the first season and they see what the fuck happened, it's like it's easier for them to reframe things in their head and be like, oh, okay, if I do what the producers say, shit's gonna go down. So let me just mind my business. And I honestly feel like Shanae is minding her business because I haven't seen her say a single bad thing about anyone. This girl is there solely with the intention to get a fucking boyfriend. Like, that's the only thing on her mind. And Genevieve, yeah. who I guess is her sworn enemy, has absolutely nothing good to say about damn near anyone on the beach. Even including herself. So,
there's this whole thing. So Shanae and Logan, I'm a fan. It's good to see that happening.
Yes.
So back to Victoria F, I guess, and this date with Justin. They're riding in a dune buggy, splashing through mud. Because her date card said, bring someone to make a splash with or something like that. So they splash through the water. They get this beautiful, like, little, like, waterfall-y.
Yeah. They hike to the top of it. It's beautiful. You know,
it's a great conversation. You can see they're vibing each other. They're having fun. Mm-hmm. Their humor is very similar. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this air sign connection, right? They're doing pretty well for each other. So they jump off the thing. They don't blur up Victoria's ass, which is very funny because they're blurring everyone else's ass this entire episode.
They're very haphazard about that. Even in the next episode, sometimes they blur, sometimes they didn't. And I'm like, well, y'all just need to stop it. Stop the blurring.
Yeah,
just stop.
Stop the blurring.
We know what ass looks like.
We know what ass looks like. So they do all this stuff. And guess what? They don't even kiss. They don't even kiss. They have this great date and they do not kiss. And I'm like, okay, so this proves that Justin is super into Genevieve and she doesn't need to worry about anything, right? Mm-hmm. Justin comes back from the date and the guys are like, she's been spiraling all day. So
before he comes back, they find a suitcase. Which leads to another spiral. So before Justin and Victoria F get back from the date, which takes 9 million years for some reason, like this is now nighttime, and some girls see a suitcase with the name Sally on it in yellow tape, and they're like, "Who's Sally? Sally?" And so we find out, okay, Sally is this girl who was supposed to be on like Clayton's season.
We talked about this. She's the one who was engaged. Her wedding day was supposed to have been the day that she would have met Clayton, like, on the thing. So she'd broken off her engagement. She met with Clayton before the rose ceremony even happened. I was kind of like, I can't be here. I have to go.
Right.
And so he was going to offer her the rose right then. And she was like, I can't. I'm not ready. I got to go. So she actually got back together with her ex-fiance, and then they broke up. And so now she's in paradise.
She was committed to coming to paradise. Genevieve freaks the fuck out because apparently Sally was into Justin too. I don't remember how she finds this information.
Oh, she knows because she said that she heard rumors about Stagecoach, because of course the infamous Stagecoach.
Of course,
That Sally was all over Justin at Stagecoach. So they decide, they make this wonderful executive decision to go into Sally's suitcase.
And that's the air quotes on it.
And so they find hair extension. Literally, they dump her shit all over the floor.
They dump her shit on the floor. And it's like, this is like heinous. Because I can't even, if somebody were to take my suitcase, and this is a fictional suitcase, honestly, y'all. Like, but even just the idea of somebody taking something that belongs to me and just dumping it all over the floor. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
and going through it and going and through it.
Rummaging through it and judging you based on what you have in your suitcase, based on your private shit. Like, that is heinous to me. Absolutely. It is. And I know the girls didn't do it themselves. I know the producers put them up to it, which is why those producers are heinous. Like, they absolutely heinous. Why would you? Anyway, in there, they see extensions. Genevieve kind of makes a face and throws them on the floor. Which, why are you throwing so many good up extensions on the floor?
Why are you doing that?
They find a vibrator. The vibrator turns on. They're like, oh my God. And I'm just like, what magical vibrator just turns on?
I think Lace is the only one. Like, Lace is the one holding it. Lace is like, oh, it's okay. I have a vibrator. Like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you would want a stranger touching your vibrator that exactly. You put inside your pussy
and throwing it on the floor. Like, what?
Yeah.
This was so weird to me.
They also take this vibrator on a tour of the beach, by the way. They bring the vibrator to the bar with them. They do all this stuff. And I will just say here, this is where Wells tells this fantastical story about what happened with Sally and the whole thing. And it's a lie. I'm not even going to get into it. But Genevieve believes it because she's dumb as rocks. And
And they had this whole reenaction of it, too.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it was
men in wigs.
I literally had to be like, what show am I watching? Like,
is this punked?
Yeah. I was like, where are we right now? You know? That was like, they must have really hated Sally's ass. Like, they had to have hated her to be doing all of this shit, you know, just to slander her. Which, this girl, Marlena, tweeted, she was like, you see why we listen to the producers? Otherwise, we'll have fake suitcases, like, tossed on the ground, just meant to slander us. And I was like, damn, these people are heinous, you know?
Wicked. It's the whole thing is fucking terrible. The one joke in this scenario is Kira supposedly taking the vibrator to the boom boom room. They feel much like Kira I'm like, she's a doctor. She would not do that. She would never use someone else's vibrator. That doesn't make sense.
None of this made sense. Finding somebody's suitcase, dumping it on the floor, taking the vibrator out and going to the bartender and being like, hey, what's up with this person? And then somebody taking that supposedly used vibrator and going to the boom boom. Zero part of this episode made any sense. And then we just continue.
You know what? We'll continue. So I want to focus on, see, I'm trying to put all this stuff out there before we get to the Romeo drama, right? Because that's really what I want to save for last.
That's true.
Victoria F and Justin come back. Justin gets a lowdown from the guys that Genevieve's been freaking out all day about this date with Victoria F. I don't know if they told him about the Sally situation because clearly he was unprepared. Because I'm going to dive into that in a second as well. Mm-hmm. So it's Genevieve's birthday. So Genevieve is at the bar and, you know, like, oh, she's like, oh, it's my birthday. So Wells is like, is it your birthday? Like, it was Lace's birthday or for real? And so I was like, oh no, for real. So Teddy and Genevieve are the ones who hear that. So there were tweets last week like, oh, I didn't even know it wasn't Lace's birthday for real. I'm like, he literally told you. You're a liar. Anyway.
Oh, that, you're right.
Mm-hmm. You're a liar. Anyway, so Justin gets his birthday cake for her, pulls her to the side because he wants to have a conversation with her. He wants to spend time with her after spending the day with Victoria and validate their connection. Mm-hmm. And so he's telling her that, you know, also I'm a little unsure because I had a great time with Victoria. I need to think about what that means. And she is, you know, freaking out, spiraling, picking fights, this whole thing. She's like, well, if you feel this way, then I don't even want you, kind of stuff. Like, I need a show of care. I need actions to back up the words. And Justin just turns around and looks at the cake. She's like, what, is it a bug? And he's like, no, I'm just looking at the birthday cake I brought you.
Exactly. Like, I honestly, all I have in my notes is that she's the most immature person I've ever seen on this show. Like,
Genevieve is the villain.
She has been freaking out over Justin. And then Justin comes back and somebody's like, hey, Justin's back. And she's like, I don't even care. Girl, bye. Like,
Genevieve you have cared
up and down this is all fucking day.
The villain. She's the villain. Like, fuck Sinead. Genevieve is the villain this whole season. I feel it. I feel it deep in my bones. So all this happens. Fine. The conversation does not go well, obviously. And so at this point, she's like, I'm going home tomorrow. This is terrible. Oh, my birthday. I'm going home on my birthday. She's just spiraling in her ITMs. I'm like, girl, this is this man literally took time out of, he didn't have to bring you a birthday cake.
Right.
He took the time because he could have been spending time with Victoria right now.
Exactly.
He spent all day with her.
He could have ignored your ass. Like, he really, he honestly could have. And honestly, if I were him, I would have. He could have ignored your ass, and he did not. And you're there like, oh, he doesn't care about me. Like, I need him to prove that he cares. Girl, he got you a fucking cake.
He just did.
He sat down and tried to talk to you. What's going on?
So that's how we leave them for the moment.
Yeah.
Now let's start the Romeo drama because... Yes,
because what? Can you explain to me what exactly was this man trying to do? I'm so here like, what?
I know exactly what happened. Romeo is not attracted to Jill and never was. Mm. And he thought that he was because of the connection that they had previously, which is why he pushed Kira to the side, right? Because he was like, Kira and I have been just friends all this time except for this... aberration, it seems, when they kissed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, I feel like I have to explore this thing with Jill. I also think it's some kind of infantilization of Jill, that Jill is like too mm-hmm. delicate and too soft to do whatever, when Jill is also mm-hmm. really the drama and the problem, but I digress. Mm-hmm. So he is realizing, of course, the night before the rose ceremony, that I don't want to give my rose to Jill because I don't have a romantic connection with her. He's attracted to other people. So he goes to Brittany, who he is attracted to.
So weird, yeah.
And
this is the moment where I was like, hold up, Brittany's on the show?
Yeah. He goes to Brittany and he's like, you know, I did want to talk to you. I didn't want to let today pass without having a conversation with you. And Brittany's face is that, like, you know, frozen smile when you're uncomfortable and you can't leave a situation. Mm-hmm. That's what Brittany has on her face. And so Roman's pretty much saying, I do like you. I want to pursue something with you. Brittany is like, IDK my BFF Jill, like, what's up with Jill?
Like literally all that's going through her head is like, but Jill really liked you, so.
Yeah, and she respects Jill and she really likes Jill as well.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah. So she's like, I'm pretty much like, I wouldn't do that to Jill. Mm-hmm. Romeo believes that means that she wouldn't do that to Jill while he hasn't confirmed things with Jill. But if he breaks it off with Jill, they have a shot. We're only seeing snippets of a conversation, right? We're not even seeing the whole thing. So Romeo leans in and tries to kiss Brittany and she curves him.
This is the most awkward thing possible. Like, he really legit tries to kiss her and she's just like, ah, hug.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, you're running away. And she was like, ha, ha, ha. And then in her ITM, she says, I don't know what that was about with Romeo, but if he tries to give me a rose, I'd rather get hit by a bus. And I was like, oof, this is not going well.
No.
So unbeknownst to Romeo, really, I think that everyone is watching this interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So Jill has seen this interaction. Then Brittany goes and tells Jill, like, oh, yeah, he was saying he was kind of interested in me and wanted to maybe pursue something with me.
Mm-hmm. And tried to kiss her.
Yeah. And so Jill is now furious. Romeo is trying to like explain to Jill what's going on, like, because he's realized, oh, shit, she's seen this. I need to have the conversation with her. So she's like, I don't want to talk to you, but let's go over here to talk. And then she just starts screaming at him, like, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. You're scaring me. And I was like, why is this black man scaring you?
I didn't hear that part. I just
She said, you're scaring me. I literally was like, what the fuck?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Why would you even say that?
Yeah, especially because, like, because I remember her walking off into just wherever and he was following behind her. So for her to say that is kind of like, girl, what? Why?
Yeah. I'm not a fucking fan.
Yeah.
If he was white, would you say that? Exactly. If he was fucking white, would you say that? That's what I don't like, right?
Yeah.
So this whole interaction is pissing me off because from day one, when Romeo wasn't doing anything wrong, she has been on him and like yelling at him and like trying to force him to do whatever. So I think that's what my actual problem with Jill is. I've been kind of ruminating on this. I said it on the stories. I wasn't sure what it was. I think that Jill is playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Jill is not actually interested in Romeo either. I think she's playing this game in a way for optimization of what she believes she deserves is her ultimate fantasy, whatever, right? And Romeo is a placeholder for that, whatever that may be. And so, because the way she has treated him from day one I mean, I get it. Romeo's bad at conversation, bad at mm-hmm. communication, and bad at confrontation. This is a Cancer man. This is what they do. but the way that she's been from episode one, I've been like, I don't like this. There's something I don't like about yeah. this. Where he was like, well, Kira's a hateful person. Kira's terrible. You have to get her away from me. It just feels very particularly attacked against a Black woman. And then how she talks to Romeo, like, well, you need to get her away from you or else kind of vibes. I didn't like that either. Yeah. And so this whole thing now where she's like, I'm going to talk to you. Then she's like screaming at him, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. Like, I don't want to hear it. You're scaring me. All that shit. I'm just like, I don't like this. You're putting on a performance and I despise it.
I honestly feel like she was too. And it was like now that I finished watching all the episodes, it was kind of like, I feel like it was kind of putting Romeo in this place where he feels like he owes her. But he doesn't owe her. Like, y'all are not together. Y'all are not in a relationship. But she's acting like mm-hmm. he owes her. Like, you see at the rose ceremony, like, right? Like, you see, and in their conversation before the rose ceremony. I'm like, why? This is manipulative. Like, why does he have to feel obligated to do anything for you? You know, he can be out here yep. and be an asshole and not be obligated to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
It's a whole fucking thing, right? So yeah. she's like, get away from me, whatever, whatever. So Romeo is crying in the ocean because he's a Cancer man. They cry. He's mm-hmm. he's really crying. Also, he's probably not used to this kind of conflict and distress, right?
Right.
I mean, because what is over this? TV, what is the situation? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jill is like pretty much hating on Romeo to any and everyone everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone's making fun of him, which I also really don't like. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I don't like about how these episodes were done. At all. And we pretty much end episode two with Romeo just like crying. And I think he talks to Kira in this episode two, right? In episode two or is episode three?
What I have in my notes is that, like, so all of that happened. Like, Jill was crying over Romeo. And then the next day is like, I guess they got like the day off or maybe they spent the day apart, but it's cocktail party time.
Yeah.
And so Romeo wants to clean up his mess. You know, Jill's talking to Casey. Jill's kind of just telling Casey everything. Romeo's like, hey, can I talk to Jill? Jill mm-hmm. basically cusses him out. And then he asks her if he gives her a rose, will she stay on? So he, yeah. so then the rose comes up, which is what yes. has me like, what the fuck? Because the rose comes up and she is so like on her high horse in her ITM. Like, I don't think I'm going to take the rose if Romeo gives it to me. I was like, girl, you know you're going to take that fucking rose. Like, you know.
Exactly.
And then I have the last thing I have in my notes is that he tries to talk to other women ?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand what that means.
No, he talks to Kira. So he talks to Kira and he asks Kira, if I gave you the rose, would you stay? And she was like, I don't really trust you, Romeo. And that's when he starts crying on her again because he's like, you know, for him at this point, he's really just trying to quote unquote do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever that may be, and understanding that he has burned bridges with Jill, which fine, no one gives a fuck, right? But he wants to still be able to have someone accept his rose and stay mm-hmm. and for them to find love, and maybe he can work things out with them. Like, I mean, like, he does kind of come at Kira kind of desperately, like, hey, you know, like, I was wrong to kind of rule you out in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. So when the conversation comes up, that's why she's like, I don't trust you. And so he's crying and she's comforting him. Because remember, they're also friends. They went to school together. They know each other. Mm-hmm. So this is not like some stranger. And so I think the fact that he's crying with her, like letting her hold him, whatever, is like a level of vulnerability that he hasn't showed really to anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has seen him crying in the ocean by himself, mm-hmm. a la Genevieve, but they haven't seen him crying with someone. Kira's, you know, taking care of him in that moment. And then... Yeah.
And then everyone on the beach is just kind of wondering, like, what's going on with Romeo?
Yeah.
Because he's trying to give his rose to... This is the first time I've seen somebody, like, trying to give their rose to people and everybody's kind of like, eh.
Here's the thing. I think Kira would have accepted the rose because Kira is his friend and Kira would have supported him, whatever, right? But, you know. So then he goes to Haley because he knows Haley has nobody and she's delusional. And he just asks her, would you accept the rose if I gave it to you? Mm-hmm. And Haley, who is like, you know, well, I'm better than everyone. So no, basically I would never do that. And so that causes Romeo to have a breakdown, like sobbing next to her. And she's just standing there while he cries. And I'm like, wow, zero compassion, zero empathy. This is awkward. If someone is standing, even if I don't like the person next to me crying, I would still comfort them. You know what I'm saying? That's just human decency. And everyone's making fun of Romeo. Again, Romeo is the problem. Romeo did not communicate clearly. Romeo did things without thinking. Romeo is the problem. However, how everyone is treating him in this moment is very much problematic. Mm-hmm. And I would have personally expected maybe someone from his season, one of the guys, to be like, let's talk about this, bro. Like, what's going on with you?
Yeah, like, where the fuck was Andrew? Like, where
Andrew wasn't from his season, but, like, where's Brandon? Where's Casey? No, Andrew's from Catherine's season.
What season is Romeo from?
Romeo's from Michelle's season.
Andrew was Catherine. Yeah.
So I would have expected at least, you know, Casey or Brandon or some. I mean, I don't think he's friends with any of them because, you know, but I mean, this one of them to be like, bro, come on, let's pull you to a corner. Let's shape this up. Let's do something. Maybe that did happen off screen. I definitely didn't fucking see it on camera. And that's what made me unhappy. It just kind of feels like you see someone, yes, they're facing the consequences of their own actions, but right now they need a little compassion. They need unpetite compassion.
They need a friend. Honestly, that's all I can say for Rome. Like, he desperately needs a friend on the beach. Like, and I don't know if anybody is really his friend. Yeah, so it's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's why I said we pretty much had the episode Romeo crying, because he literally is crying.
Yeah, I would just hope if I'm ever somewhere crying, somebody would be like, hey, girl, it's okay. Let's go over here. Let's have a talk. You know,
I will tell you, as a former flight attendant, like my old job, I've had passengers sit in front of me and crying before. Like, you know, I used to slide them some tissues, be like, do you want some privacy? I can take you somewhere else. Like, are you okay? Like, you have conversations with people. You don't just like let them sit there and sob.
That's so nice of you, Jen.
But she's sitting directly in front of my jump seat. What do you want me to do? Literally sitting right there in front of me. And I was just I was during takeoff. So I got up in the air and I was like, hey, is everything okay? Do you need anything? Do you need like some space or something? And she was like, oh, I'm okay. So I just let her some tissues. Like, here, if you need something, let me know. That's it. Like, that's what I would want someone to do for me. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm publicly sobbing on an aircraft with 300 people,
like, you know, it's nothing simple. Like,
it's not simple.
I'm going through it.
No, I'm going through it. Like, I wouldn't give me some tissues, damn it.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going the fuck through it. Help me. So anyway, so that's how episode 2 ends. Do you want to do sweet and sours per episode or per the whole thing?
I think we should do it for the whole thing because I feel like it's the same storyline that I find sourful and sweetful throughout the whole thing.
Yes, exactly. So that's how episode 2 ends. And, you know, they're giving us these episodes in 2-day chunks. So might as well do sweet and sour for the whole thing. So episode 3, Tuesday night, we come in and still in the cocktail party before the rose ceremony. So we see Haley and Kira are interested in Jacob.
Tarzan.
Yes, because Haley was interested in Logan. Logan's a wrap. It's done. Shanae got him. So Haley's like, all right, now I gotta figure this shit out. Kira as well is like, you know what? I am gonna try it for Jacob. So Kira dresses up in some leaves.
Oh, but here's the thing though. Kira had said it to Shanae after the whole Romeo thing. So episode 2, she did tell Shanae, like, I'm attracted to Jacob as well. So it's not just Romeo that I was interested in. I just didn't make moves on anyone else. Mm-hmm. Oh, we forgot to mention Mike and Sierra. But
they kind of just had a cute little conversation.
They had a cute conversation. They kissed and it's beautiful. And we're happy for them.
Yes, very
cute. Episode 2. So we know they're a thing. Episode 3. Oh, that's also where Sierra tells them that she doesn't have a pinky finger on one of her hands.
Oh, yeah. Sierra doesn't have a pinky finger. I did not notice. And nobody had noticed it until she said so. They were talking about scars. It was this really cute conversation where they were talking about scars. And Sierra's like, I don't have a pinky. And she was like, I get 10% off every time I do my nails. I was like, girl.
Like, that's what I need to know. Like, I knew she didn't have a pinky because in the the Black Roses, like, kicking at rooms on Clubhouse. She had done a room with them, and she told them that she didn't have a pinky. Oh. And so we talked about that. But I was just like, I never thought about that. Do you get discounts on mani-pedis? So now I got to ask everybody, if you're missing fingers and you get mani-pedis or toe, like, do they give you discounts? Is it just Sierra?
I guess if you ask, because I would definitely ask, like, I'll be like, hey, I only have 9 fingers. And this is a 10-finger price.
Yeah. And then so Andrew was, they were just like, oh, she's a perfect handhold because she doesn't have that, you know, extra pinky dragging there. So Andrew and her hold hands, like, oh my God, you're right. It is the perfect handhold. Anyway, I thought it was very fun, very cute. Yes. So yes, we're back to episode 3, where everyone's trying to go for Jacob. Jacob is now the hottest man on the beach because everybody else is taken except for Romeo. Mm-hmm. And I am confused by this because I'm like, what is Casey trying to do? But by the way, this is when he slut shames Kira in episode 2, which I don't like.
Yeah,
he was talking to Mike A, and he was like, oh, you know, Kira's a bad girl. I need someone who's an actual good girl. I'm trying to get married.
And I was like, gross.
Fuck you.
Geriatric millennial. Like, go away.
Fuck you very much.
Yeah. Like,
it's also giving a little bit of racisme.
I was just gonna say, it's giving a little bit of misogynoir. Like, you know, just because a Black woman likes to have sex does not mean she is not a good person to marry.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you gonna, never mind. Let me know.
Listen, but this also, I would like to remind people that when we did Michelle season, there was a rumor that Casey was a Trump supporter. And oh, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that after the fact, because I was like, I couldn't remember if Casey was an unproblematic white man or not. But he's going back into problematic in my head, because besides that, what he said was problematic as hell. So
yes, exactly. So Kira was attracted to Jacob in the first place anyway, because, you know, he's attractive and dumb and, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
She's trying to have fun. Mm-hmm. She's trying to have fun, so she does the leaf thing, and
it's cute, and they kiss.
They kiss. Haley had kissed him, and we talked about Haley kissing him already. And then he talks to Lace, and he and Lace have a conversation, and Lace is, you know, pretty much laying her Scorpio shit out there. She's like, "Listen, I'm trying to get married at the end of this. I'm trying to do whatever. I like you. I think you're interesting. So like, let's do this and see what happens." And he's like, "All right, cool." And they kiss too. So it's like, I'm like, does you hear anything that she said? I don't think you heard a single word she said.
I don't think so either. I think she was probably the one he was the most attracted to. Like, honestly, he was just like, yeah, okay. this hot girl's talking to me. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think his brain was just running on that loop. So we say fine. No problem. But here, what? It's rose ceremony time now. Cocktail party is over.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, and we forgot to talk. Well, I guess we kind of mentioned Victoria F. Then.
Oh, Victoria F. and Johnny. Yes,
Johnny was into Hunter. Johnny and Hunter had a really cute connection, and Victoria F. was like, let me have a conversation. And that's all it took, girl. That's all it took.
One fucking conversation, and Johnny had spin like game. We're gonna talk about turning a man's head. Johnny's head literally swung off its axis when Victoria talked to him. I told you from the second they met, I was just like, there's something here. I see it.
You did say they had a little spark.
But
I guess he thought she was into Justin, and she was like,
Victoria's like, I'm hedging my bets because I think Justin's going to work this out with Genevieve. Yeah, so I got to go for what I want,
Justin and Genevieve were fighting like they were in a 5-year relationship, and Victoria was like, all right, I don't want no drama. Next victim.
Let's explore other options. And so she talked to Johnny. So remember, Hunter and Johnny have been kissing and loving each other for 2 days. Mm-hmm. This is now day 3, which is rose ceremony day. So Hunter is sure she's getting the rose. She is sure they are secure. And Victoria said, you fuck are you? She's like, I got your man. Pretty much. But you know what? This is on Johnny. Because if Johnny was like, oh yeah, Victoria and Justin went on a date, this is fine, whatever. Hunter and I are cool. We got a great thing. Literally, it was one conversation. I didn't even know what they talked about. But Hunter turns around. Hunter turns around and they're kissing. And that was the end of that.
And Hunter was like, it's okay. Like, I know my connection with Johnny. And then now it's time for the Jesse, whatever his name is, comes and closes a cocktail party. And now it's time for the rose ceremony.
So,
and your girl Hunter is out.
Listen, I had my predictions, right? So after episode 2, I did my predictions for who was going to get roses where. Mm-hmm. So I predicted everyone who was going home. There was only 2 that I mixed up. So, you know, Andrew gave his rose to Teddy. Brandon gave his rose to Serene. Mm-hmm. Logan gave his rose to Shanae. Johnny, I predicted, was going to give his rose to Victoria F, which he did. Mm-hmm. who else was there again? Casey.
Casey. Mm-hmm.
So I predicted he was going to give his rose to Jill, I think. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He actually gave his rose to Brittany. Which was a fucking surprise. It's like, yeah, where did that come from?
It was, I think we are all like, what? When did they talk?
have they even met?
I honestly have no idea. I was like, they talked? Like, they know each other?
I didn't even know they had met. Like, that's how bizarre this felt, yes, right? Like, I didn't even know, yes, they had met. Yes. So, where are they? Let's see. Who are some of the guys there again?
Justin.
Justin gave his rose to Genevieve, which I knew was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then Jacob.
Yeah. Jacob gave his rose. Oh, right. So, he gave it to Lace. So, mm-hmm, sorry. That's where the mix-up was. I thought Casey was going to give his rose to Lace and that Jacob was going to give his rose to Brittany. So, that's what I thought was going to happen. And, of course, mm-hmm, Mike gives rose to Sierra. Everyone, Mike, yeah, and Sierra are a done deal. That was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that was a surprise. Casey giving Brittany his rose was a surprise. Tarzan, definitely, giving Lace his rose was a surprise for me. Justin and Genevieve, I knew it was going to happen. My little quote says, she doesn't deserve it, though. Johnny and Victoria F, I knew that was happening. And then Romeo and Jill is a friendship rose. So I was, yeah, just like, ugh. I knew and that Jill, Romeo was going to, yeah, do that. I knew he was going to do it.
Jill made such a stink. Like, for me, it was like, she made such a stink about Romeo. And I don't want his rose. And if he gives me his rose, I don't want it. And then he gave her the rose. And she was like, and she took it. And it was like, girl, we knew you was going to take this rose. Why are you out here fronting? Like, we knew you wanted this rose. We know you want to stay on the beach. Yep. Like, she was annoying. I'm sorry. Everybody's like, annoying. Oh my God, Jill, I stand. I think she's annoying.
Jill on Clayton's season, maybe she was better than. I despise her on Paradise. She and Genevieve are the villains. I said what I said, and I stick by it.
She's annoying. I don't think she's as annoying as Genevieve. I definitely think Genevieve's the hikey, the most annoying person on the beach.
Correct. Correct. You are correct there, but I don't like it. So they get the rose. So, you know, Kira's going home. Haley is going home. Hunter is going home.
Yes.
But so Kira posted on Twitter and stuff, don't count me out yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, she said she is Kira coming back? Oh, that's right. Because they're doing the Casa Amor thing.
They are? Oh, yes. They are. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God. That's going to be so interesting.
Yes. So I wonder with her coming back, like, who are the guys who are left? Because we didn't actually see most of the guys who were left. We would see most of the girls, you know. Mm-hmm. Jill is still there for some reason. And, you know, so there's this stuff happening. And I want to see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're going through it. We're going through stuff. We're fine.
We will see it, yes. So it's the next day, you know, the dust is cleared. Everybody has their roses. All the guys are, like, bringing breakfast to the women because the women have the roses this time.
Yes. And, you know, Genevieve and Justin are trying to pretend like nothing happened. She's, yeah, like, yeah, that was bad of me. I should have trusted you. Sorry. Let's just move forward from here.
Basically.
So pretty much they're moving forward. They're together at this point. Mm-hmm. Right? And then.
Dumb and Dumber enter the chat.
Yeah. Y'all know how we feel about Aaron and James. Y'all already know. I'm not a fan. I don't. And I remember. So today, Bachelor Horoscopes reminded me what Aaron's chart was. And I was like, this is why I cannot stand the man.
He's a Sagittarius, isn't he?
No, he's not.
He's not?
I am going to read this to you because I forgot about this. So Aaron Glancy, his sun is in Virgo. His moon is in Aquarius.
Oh.
His Venus is in Scorpio. And so is his rising sign. And so is his rising sign. He has fucking... I'm like, this is why I can't stand the man. Because I'm just like, this is so weird. Like,
I can see it. It's very rigid and dark.
I despise this man so much. I mean, he also has a Pluto in Scorpio and a Jupiter in Scorpio. Just throwing that out there.
In our generation, my Pluto's in Scorpio too.
And his Mercury in Libra.
Oh.
Right? There's so many weird things. Because then his Mars is in Cancer and his Saturn is in Pisces.
Oh, my Mars is in Cancer too, so he's passive aggressive as fuck.
Yes. And his Uranus and Neptune are in Capricorn.
Yeah, which I think mine are too.
So, you know how I feel. So, yeah. You know how I feel. You and I love each other. This man, if I saw him in the street and he tried to talk to me, I might punch him. So
yeah, that I mean, but it makes especially his sun and moon, his sun moon rising makes a lot of sense, like a lot of fucking sense. So yep. I wonder what James's chart is too, because they are literally like batty and bench. Like yeah. We saw this last year. They were like, we're gonna go to San Diego together. We're gonna move in together, and they did.
Mm-hmm. And they
came back on the beach together. Like when I saw Aaron in the previews, I was like, oh my god, Aaron's got on here by himself. What about James? Of course he didn't leave James out. Of course James came too. They are the duo, the double trouble, the dudes with boobs. I don't know. Who they really just need to like date each other, but you know, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, wait, did I feel like I have to read Romeo's to you real quick, just like the first, the sun, moon, rising, and Venus. Mm-hmm. Romeo's sun is in Cancer, right? Mm-hmm. His moon is in Aries.
Oh my god.
His rising is in Cancer and his Venus is in Cancer.
Oh my god!
I forgot to tell you that before.
Romeo, I'm so sorry.
I really forgot to tell you because I was like, you definitely... If I told you this in advance, you would definitely have known
what was going on. In case you don't speak astrology speak, Romeo is basically emotional as hell and his life is chaotic as fuck because he has an Aries moon and everybody with an Aries moon has a chaotic ass life. Romeo's ready to fight and cry at the same time, at all times.
Yes. And just so you know, James is an Aries sun. I'm trying to see if I can get his full thing. I don't think they have it, but James is an Aries sun. So
like opposites. I guess they're like opposite attracts.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's interesting. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But they don't have like his full chart on the page. Shout out to Bachelor Horoscopes for this info, because you know, yeah. But anyway.
Aries and Scorpio get along really well. So
yeah. So James is on the beach with Aaron. You know, boyfriends are here. And immediately when Aaron comes down, Genevieve, can I talk to you? He pulls Genevieve first.
And they get they get a double date card, by the way. So both James and Aaron have to choose somebody to go on this double date with. So yes, Aaron pulls Genevieve. Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls Shanae.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. He's asking Shanae, like, what's the tea or whatever. She was just like, you know, like, who's into him? Who's talking about him? And I was like, of course you did. And she was like, well, I'm attracted to you. Like, whatever. He's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, he's feeling it. So we don't see James talk to a single person.
We don't see James talk to anyone.
And so I was like, is Aaron vetting the girls for both of them? Like, what's happening? Did he only talk to those two? Like, what's going on?
That's the only two I saw. I saw him pull Genevieve. I saw him pull Shanae. I did not see anyone talk to James. And all of a sudden, James was asking Shanae. And I was like, what?
And Aaron asked Genevieve. So,
yes.
So this is Shanae's second date. She's living her best life right now, okay?
She is.
But you may not know this if you didn't watch Blatton season. They had a 2-on-1 on Blatton season. That's when Shanae talked about throwing Genevieve into Niagara Falls. And, you know, Shanae got sent home on that 2-on-1 and Genevieve got the rose. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of bad blood between the two of them. So them on the double date is hilarious. So, yeah. But they have a great time. They actually end up even speaking to each other.
Oh, but then Sierra, before they go on, like, as they go on the date, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, the nemesis on the date. And Sierra actually gives us the tea. I can't remember if Sierra, I think it's Sierra gives us the tea. Because she said Genevieve at the men tell all was accused of sleeping with Aaron.
Yes, and Shanae did that. They showed the clip.
Yes.
Shanae sat right next to Genevieve on that couch and accused her of leaving the show and fucking Aaron. She said, fucking Aaron at that.
And so now Sierra says that she thinks that our Aaron wanted to take Genevieve and Shanae out on purpose to make Shanae uncomfortable for calling Genevieve out or like saying his name or whatever. And that's I'm like, that's such a bitchy move, dude. Like, what the fuck?
And it's
I can definitely see him doing that.
It's exactly what he would do. So
all that Scorpio in his chart is exactly what he wanted to do.
That's exactly what he would do. So, I mean, here's the thing, though. I believe Shanae. I believe that something was going on. Even if they didn't fuck, maybe they just talked to each other and like spent a lot of time together or whatever. Mm-hmm. But something was, the history was definitely there, which we can see on this date because she references the fact that, oh, like, I didn't know you thought of me this way, blah, 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 which leads me to believe that they fucked and it was a hit and quit situation, that it wasn't like a dating situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, whatever. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, I play things close to the vest. And I was like, duh. It's close to the vest.
Exactly. Da, da, da.
All this shit, right? And then, oh, right. But their actual date was just them going to the resort and just like playing like
the tacos. Yeah.
Yeah. Eat tacos, play games by the pool, drink mm-hmm. at the bar, and they kiss.
Twerking.
And I was like, oh, so y'all want to kiss. So Genevieve is pissed at Justin for even going somewhere with Victoria.
For talking to another woman.
The second his back is turned, her tongue is down Aaron's throat. Also, she didn't even talk to Justin before she left for the date.
No. Nope.
And neither did Shanae didn't talk to Logan either. They just went and got ready and dipped. They didn't talk to mm-hmm. people they were supposedly dating. And
I'm not going to lie to you. We saw maybe one clip of Justin laying on the beach like, damn. And that was it.
Like, damn, that's brazy, you know?
Yes. I mean, that was it. This man was chilling, living his best life on the beach. And I feel like the producers were like, aren't you worried about Genevieve? And he was like, oh, shit, I probably have to say something, don't I?
Logan's lying on the cushions on the floor, distressed, like he's a dead man. Like, literally, Logan is distressed. And Justin is just, they tried to give him, like, the emo boy edit for Justin. I'm like, this man probably just sleeping. He's sleeping.
Yes, he is. This guy is chilling, relaxing, living his best life. Like, thank God I have some peace.
You know? So it's very different interaction from when Justin went on the date with Victoria, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he took the time to talk to Genevieve before he went on the date. When he mm-hmm. came back, he validated her. All this stuff. Mm-hmm. Genevieve has not even thought about returning the favor.
No. Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Mm-mm-mm. This girl has not thought about Justin for a second.
Not one fucking second.
Oh, and shit, a date? Great.
We see that Shanae actually is interested in James mm-hmm. because of how easy their conversation is. Mm-hmm. Because of, like, I was like, did James have this leg sleeve the whole time? He didn't have that last year on Paradise, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
It looked too new for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but she said the conversation with James is easy. They're having fun. It's whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then something is missing with Logan, which is pretty mm-hmm. much the theme of this episode. Something's missing.
Yeah. But she's still into Logan.
She's still into Logan.
So
but
she, wants to see them both, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she and James kiss. You know what? She and James could go together. She and James could go together.
Honestly, like, I don't see enough of James's personality to be like, oh, like, there's something wrong with him. But so I can see him with literally anyone. Because he's so easygoing, which I think Aaron needs somebody like that. Honestly, he needs somebody just so, like, chill and easygoing. And James seems chill and easygoing. So James and Shanae kiss. Shanae's still really into Logan. And then we're back at the beach and Romeo is like trying to pursue things with Jill still. And Jill's like, nigga, what?
Yeah, Jill's like, fuck off. Oh, by the way, Shanae is also an Aries, by the way. So Shanae is an Aries. Logan is a Sagittarius. And James, as we know, is an Aries. Does that make sense, right?
Yes,
so all of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So it's to me, it's legit that she would want to see them both. We don't know if they're cool with her seeing them both, but we will see what happens at the next rose ceremony.
We about to find out.
Yes. And then Jared and Ashley, I come in, and honestly, I kind of just zoned out. Like,
I was like, why are you here?
They're supposed to be the successful Paradise couple story, but I swear
it doesn't count.
Every single
it doesn't count. They didn't even fall in love on Paradise. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. This is bring Jade and Tanner back. Bring Jade and Tanner back. You know what I'm saying? Tired. Let them bring those kids again. I mean, I think also, aren't they toxic? I can't remember what Tanner did. Girl, didn't he like get arrested for something?
Girl, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I thought they were all toxic, to be honest with you.
Well, yes, but I'm just thinking like, I mean, you know what? They could have brought Grocery Joe and Sarita. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to see it, but I would have much rather them brought them. You know, like it's okay though.
Yeah. So they bring them in. They bring Jared and Ashley I in to kind of like, I guess, inspire the people, but they end up kind of just being like cast members, just chilling on the couch.
Well, that's actually why they're there. They're there for vacation away from their baby. So because Paradise was so instrumental in them finding each other. I'm like, oh, you mean the time Ashley I was crying with Jared in Paradise Season 2 or Paradise Season 3? Which one are you talking about? Oh, they got engaged on Paradise. I'm like, wow, amazing. He brought her to the beach. So got engaged.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I'm just not a fan of this whole thing. Whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, for me, they're just background at this point. I guess they're cast members. I don't know. But they're like background. But then the real party arrives. The person we have all been waiting to see. Rodney, Hot Rod, comes strolling down the steps and everybody's like, Rodney!
Everyone is happy to see Rodney. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so happy to see him. Mm-hmm. And it's guys and girls alike. All the girls were like, low-key, we were all here waiting for Rodney to get here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And all the guys were like, yeah, Rodney, my man. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
So, but before Rodney comes down, he does tell Jesse that he was interested in seeing Serene, mm-hmm. Eliza, and who else is the other person Eliza? I think he said? She comes later.
Oh.
And Teddy. And Teddy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Teddy. So Teddy is with Andrew, Serena's with Brandon, and Eliza's not there. Mm-hmm. So Eliza comes later, by the way. I saw her in the promo. So, you know, it's like, this is interesting. This is very interesting. So very interesting. He has a date card. He's like, you know, find someone to be the apple of your eye or something like that. And I was like, oh, of course, the apple jokes. Love to see it. And yeah, he pulls a couple of girls to talk. He pulls Jill. Mm-hmm. He pulls Teddy. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that Teddy is vibing with him. Now, I've said it from episode one. Teddy and Andrew are kind of off. Like, their interactions have been kind of awkward. The date was a good turning point for them. But since then, we haven't really seen them do much together, you know?
Yeah. I honestly did this thing. Andrew is just too corny for her. Like, I think she's a bit corny. I'm not going to lie. This episode, I nailed down what Andrew reminds me of. Andrew reminds me of a middle-aged white man. Like, that, those are the type of jokes he spews. That's the type of conversation he has. Like, literally everything. And it's, like, nothing against him. You know, there are people who are just, they like that. But he talks like a middle-aged white man. And he needs to be with someone who understands that. And I think Teddy realized, and she was like, this is not it.
I think talking to Rodney really opened her eyes. Mm-hmm. And so after she talks to Rodney, Teddy goes off to cry in a corner because she knows that she'd go say yes to this date with Rodney if he asks her.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
And she was just, I guess for her, she just realized like it meant things are missing with Andrew. But then this is where shit kind of gets off the rails a little bit, right? So you're watching this and you're like, okay, she's definitely gonna go on this date with Rodney and she's gonna break things off with Andrew. And so that second part happens. She breaks things off with Andrew. Like, she admits she's not as affectionate with Andrew. She pulls Andrew. They have a conversation that she breaks it off. And then she bounces. Like,
listen,
leaves the beach entirely.
But to her, she came to Paradise to meet Andrew. She and Andrew actually came to Paradise to meet and be with each other. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's not working, Teddy's also a child. Don't forget this. She's like 25, 26, whatever. Like, they're children. So in her mind, what is the point of me staying if I can't make it work with the person I came here to make it work with?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's right. But I think I understand a child's mentality. Mm-hmm. And I'm using child to be someone under 25, like childbirth, like, you know, in their early mid-ish 20s in this context. Not, she's a literal child. Yeah. And I'm not trying to infantilize her either. She just doesn't have the necessary life experience.
Yeah, I can see it like as somebody who is prone, somebody who's prone to be led by my thoughts and emotions in the moment. Like, I have learned that I need to give myself time before I make any drastic decisions. And I feel like Teddy is in that space where it's like, okay, like, my thoughts and my emotions are immediate. I need to deal with this immediately. And so it's like, for her coming to meet Andrew, in my mind, it's like coming to meet Andrew failed, and her thoughts and her emotions are saying, this is a failure. And so she's like, all right, yeah, I need to bounce. But I'm
she's
like,
she's a Libra.
So why you didn't want to, you, so you didn't want to go on a date with Rodney? You didn't want to see what happened with Rodney? Like, girl. By the way, Rodney has this date card for fucking ever. Like, he comes in the afternoon and Teddy leaves in the nighttime. And that's when he's like, okay. Rodney's like, I want to ask Teddy on a date. And then Jill and Serene have to tell him that she actually left. And it's kind of just like, oh.
Yeah.
So he still has his date card. Rodney still has a date to go on. Rodney has not been on his date yet. And he's been there all day.
All day. Where has he been? What has he been doing? Because girl, we don't see him at all. Oh, no. By the way, yes, Serene goes to find Teddy, can't find her, goes to Wells. Wells is like, oh, she left. I thought she would have told y'all goodbye. Mm-hmm. So she's devastated. Serene has to break the news to Andrew that Teddy has left. And then Jill has to break the news to, I think it's Jill and them, break the news to Rodney that she's not even fucking here. So it's just, it's so weird. This whole thing is weird.
It was so weird the way she just up and left. And she was like, I'm not saying bye to anyone. I just want to go. And it's like, some, there's some speculation on Twitter that something else must have happened, like with a producer, like a producer must have pissed her off. Like, something must have happened for her to just leave so abruptly. Because at the end of the day, even if the person, even if, like, you go and you meet somebody and it's not what you expect, you're on a beach in fucking Mexico having all meals paid for. Like, the least you can do is enjoy the vacation until you have to return to real life. So I feel like something must have happened to make her super uncomfortable to be like, you know what, I gotta go now. Like, now. Like, not tomorrow, not at the rose ceremony, now.
Yeah.
So.
But now it puts the guys in a bad spot, right? There are only eight girls now, and we've just introduced three new men. So it's 9, 10, 11. There are now 12 guys and 8 girls. Mm-hmm. So, but don't worry. Next week, they even this out by bringing Sally down.
Yep. Sally, the mysterious Sally with the suitcase, shows up, and you can tell she has no fucking clue what the producers did to her before. You could tell she has no idea. She's like, yeah, I'm Sally, and I showed up. And it's like, girl.
Ooh, also, here is what we need to be talking about, right? So when the Sally suitcase shows up, Genevieve mentions the fact that she knows that Sally was all over dressed in a stagecoach. Mm-hmm. Kira is actually the one that tells her, no, I was with Sally. They were making out. They spent all their time together when we were at Stagecoach. So when Kira says that on the show to Genevieve, because she's like, I'm just trying to let Genevieve know what's going on, right? Like, I'm not trying to, you know, make her paranoid, but I'm trying to tell her that if she's worried about Sally, it's a legitimate concern, right? Justin gets his little internet fingers out, like, Kira was at Stagecoach, anything for screen time, I guess. Now, remember, this is part of the disrespecting of Black women, especially Kira, that's been happening on the show. The slut shaming, all this shit, right? And so Kira is like, I was a part of the 5-girl crew that was at Stagecoach with Sally, and you saw me several times. We had several interactions. Justin's playing dumb, like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm not saying you're a liar. I just, you know, like, whatever. But Justin, remember, Justin is a Gemini. He doesn't like his shit being put out in public. Justin has a very, I don't know if people notice it, Justin has a very carefully crafted, like, Instagram image. You never, even publicly as well, like, you never really hear anything about Justin. He's is his art, hanging out with the boys, and that's it. Like, you don't really see anything else from him. You don't really know what he's doing at any point in time, because he's shady.
Like a true fucking Gemini.
He's a shady ass man, right?
Yes.
So the fact that Kira publicly blew up his spot on the show put him in defensive mode. But he forgot that Kira's a fucking Taurus. She's got the goddamn receipts. Kira posted a photo of him and her in the same photo at Stagecoach.
I was like, had a great time, Justin.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, like, there were some people there I didn't know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're trying to pretend like people who are at Stagecoach, you can go on Sally's page. You can go on, I think, Cassidy Timbrick's page as well. Kira is in all their photos from Stagecoach. She's in all of the photos. She's in the videos. Mm-hmm. She was there. And so Justin trying to pretend like he didn't see her. He didn't know she was there. And she was the one hanging out with Sally. And he and Sally were familiar with each other at Stagecoach.
It's like he had to know she was there, especially if she was there with Sally. Like, he had to know she was there. I feel like he was trying to invalidate what she was saying.
He sure the fuck was. But it failed.
And Kira was like, you chose the right one today. Because I got time. Like, I'm a doctor, but I got time.
I got time. I got receipts. I can post these photos all day, baby.
I got some time between these patients. Let me go find this picture real quick. Remember this, Justin? Love it. Love to see it. Yes.
I loved everything about that. So that was fantastic to me. And other awkward Twitter news about the episode, Genevieve talked about, you know, we don't know how hard it was, you know, like 90% humidity and living on 3 hours of sleep, et cetera, et cetera. And so Michael A, in a kind of condescending quote tweet, was just kind of like, oh, wow, yes, living on the beach with all your friends, having all your meals paid for, blah, 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 blah. Like, you probably have all seen the tweets. And then he replies, like, to his own tweets, like, I'm not trying to invalidate her experience. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't this. We weren't being held hostage. It wasn't this terrible thing. And so a lot of people are speaking out against Mike A about this tweet and how he said that. I didn't take it any kind of way, but that's, like, a me thing. Like, I was just, and then so McKenna is, of course, on there. She's like, well, when you're not a favorite, like, you have no idea what it's like to be not the favorite kind of vibes. And I absolutely get that. McKenna is not the favorite. She's been through, like, severe mental health stuff as a result of being on the show and all those kinds of things. But in the same breath, I'm also kind of like, I kind of agree with, I mean, it's also only day 3 or 4 at this point. This is not like, they haven't been there for weeks at this point. It's like very, the first 3 or 4 days of the process. So I understand why Michael would mansplain it in this way and kind of not mean to speak over her, but speak over her. And her criticism just holds up as kind of flimsy.
It does.
Of the process. Like, I mean, like, oh, it's the heat, it's the bugs, it's the, you know, we only get 3 hours of sleep, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I get that the producer schedule is rigorous. You're only there for a month. You're having a rose ceremony like every 3 or 4 days. Like, I get that that's a rigorous schedule for you. That doesn't excuse your behavior on the show. That's not an excuse at all. It's not like what happened with McKenna, where they deliberately, like, kept her, like, last Paradise. Remember, she came down, like, at the very end of Paradise. There was no one that, you know, would go out with it. Like, it's not like that. This is very much a, girl, it's day 2 or 3. You're one of the first ones on the beach, and you're
My thing is, like, Genevieve is annoying. I'm sorry. Like, she's so fucking annoying. Like, she's so annoying. And I feel like these are just two different perspectives of the beach, right? You get on a beach, there's always going to be one person like, ew, the sand is gross. Ew, there's crabs everywhere. Oh, it's hot. Oh, the water's too cool. And somebody else goes on the beach and they're going to be like, wow, this is beautiful. You know, like, it's two different perspectives. I feel like Michael was kind of just like fed up with Genevieve's perspective and the shit that she's spewing on, you know, how the beach was just this awful place to be. And I feel like he was probably just frustrated and like, yo, like, put things into perspective here. You know, I think he was just trying to be like, hey, like, put things into perspective. And it came across very condescending and like, he was dismissing her experience. I still love Michael. I don't care. Y'all can cancel me.
No, I mean, I'm still a Michael fan at this point. He hasn't showed me anything that requires me to not be a fan. If y'all have secret receipts, y'all can let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we are not above canceling a white man ever on this show.
It's actually our favorite thing to do.
Yes, exactly. So if we're not canceling him, it's for a reason. Like, I will cancel a white man for dust, honestly.
Sorry, you breathed on the wrong woman today.
Exactly. You said something a little too hard. I'm sorry, we can't. But I'm sorry. I think Genevieve's annoying, so Michael A is my dude.
So here we are at this point. You know, we finished episodes 2 and 3. We know that next week there is more shit coming down the pipeline. I'm not even... I'm tired. I'm tired already. We're only at week 2 of viewings. And there's going to be 2 episodes every single week until like the fucking 31st of October. Yeah. It actually ends on the 1st of November. It ends on my goddamn birthday. Yeah. So I have to be here watching Paradise and making notes on my fucking birthday. I probably won't be. That's besides the point.
No. Please don't.
That's besides the point. My point is, like, what's
wrong
with
y'all? They are holding us hostage for the next month. That's the point. Holding
That's
us
the
hostage
point.
Every Monday and Tuesday night for the next month. And we are idiotic because we're going to watch it.
Because we're going to fucking watch it. I can't stand us. But do you have any sweet moments that have jumped out at you so far across these 2 episodes? That's my real question.
The sweet moments have been few and far between. I'm telling you, like, I'm going to say my sweet moment is, oh my god, what is my sweet moment? Who is a sweet couple? We did not see any like sweet couples. Sweet moments.
Yeah, because Brandon and Serene got no fucking screen time. That's why.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say my sweet moment was Victoria F pulling Johnny and saying, "Look, you're gonna give me a rose," and Johnny was like, "Yes, ma'am." and that was the end of that. That's my sweet moment.
Fair.
What is your sweet moment?
My sweet moment is Michael and Sierra having that conversation. Sierra is a Cancer, by the way. So, you know, she's a very emotional and caring and like leading with love kind of person in this dynamic. And when they shared their little first kiss, I was like, oh, this is very sweet. And then Michael says, "You got some soft ass lips, girl." And she was like, "I know." She said, "I know."
I love it.
I love that. It. So that was my sweet moment. And that was in episode 2.
I love it. I love that. It's hilarious. Okay. What is your sour moment?
Genevieve and Jill. Both of them together all the time. Anytime they're on my screen, I feel sour.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like, Genevieve is my sour moment too. She's just so fucking annoying. And it's like... It's like she seems like one of those people who complains, who finds a reason to complain about literally any fucking thing. And I hate those type of people. Like, Genevieve's the type of person where I would be like, "Genevieve's going? Oh, I'm out. I'm not going. I'm good. Thank you. I am good. I do not need the hair, that noise in my ear. I'm sorry." So
I feel you.
She's my sour moment. Get well, Genevieve. I know those intrusive thoughts be beating your ass, Genevieve. Like, you can get past it. You can. You can do it.
You too can stop forest fires, okay?
Exactly. Exactly.
It was a hot mess. You're right.
So, yeah. So that's our sweet and sours. On to Bachelor Nation news.
Wait. You don't have it's sweet...
Oh, well, I guess, you know, what else? What else sweet me? I mentioned Victoria F. What else sweet me this episode?
Oh, I know what sweet me.
What's your sweet me moment?
When Haley didn't get the date card and Shanae got it and she asked Logan on the date.
Yes, that sweet me bad, for sure. Like, And what sweet me? I think besides Victoria F, I don't remember what else. Hold on, I'm looking at my notes to remember what did we just talk about? I think I think Aaron and James deciding to tag team Genevieve and Shanae together, that sweet me bad. I'm sorry, Aaron's a petty ass bitch. That man is a petty is being petty for me.
He is very petty. I'm just sitting here like, yep, you're right, that man be very petty. I would have, again, I probably wouldn't have done the same thing. That probably is not what I would have wanted to do, but I could see the value in it.
I wouldn't have done it either, but
you know,
yeah. So, okay, so we have our sweet, sour moments. It's sweet me moments. I'm going to talk about the poll that we published.
Yes, talk about the poll.
So last episode, we were talking about, you know, Adam Levine and his DMs. And I asked y'all, is Adam Levine's DMs an example of how white people flirt? Y'all said, how white people flirt. Y'all said, yep, that's how they do it. Like 100% of you said yes. That is how white people flirt. So thank you for verifying, because I did not know. And then we asked, what is your take on the Jill Kira Romeo drama? Chelsea Henshaw says, loving all of it, to be honest, and think all the hate is such BS. I love Kira. She's a baddie. I love Jill. She's hilarious. And I love how geeky Romeo is. And you know what? She's not wrong. Except for maybe about Jill. I mean, she's funny, but I don't know. She's all right.
Yeah, I think that's what's really holding it up there. It's that Jill's behavior on the show does not endear me to her. And I think that makes me displeased or unhappy, or like, how do I phrase this, like, in a nice way? Jill is coming across as ain't shit. And
yeah, it's like, I'm trying to like Jill, but like, I don't, my spirit is just not taken to her. My spirit is not taken, like, something is up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't quite put my finger on it, but anytime she comes up, like, and I see the reaction, like, people are like, yes, Jill. And I'm just like, I guess I don't understand. Maybe I needed to watch Clayton season, but I honestly, like, I can't be the Jill stan. I wanted to, but I can't.
Yeah, I do want to like her. I just cannot anymore after all of this. Yeah. And that does make me feel bad. It does make me feel like I'm hating on a, you know, woman of color. But
yeah, and it's like, I don't want to. That's why I want to like her. I don't want to not like her.
Yeah. But damn, she be making it hot out here.
Yeah, maybe in the next couple of episodes I might end up like, no, I don't know. But with that whole Romeo situation, it was kind of like, it's not worth tasting my mouth.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's just, it's off. The vibes are off.
Yes, the vibes are off. In other Bachelor Nation news, apparently Thomas proposed to Becca.
Yes, I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, he carved a little pumpkin that said, will you marry me? I haven't seen the picture yet, but I heard about it. And but she had proposed to him before.
Yes, right? Yes, they are already engaged, but he had also said that he would be proposing to her, and it would be when she would least expect it. She proposed to him. Yeah. Thomas is a good dude. He was like, she proposed to me. It's okay. I'm going to get her back. I'm going to get her back. And I was just so like, cute. You know what? Do it. Mm-hmm. Because y'all, they're very cute together. I want them to be happy. So I was overjoyed when I heard that he proposed to her. And overjoyed probably is doing a lot right now. But I liked it. I like them together. I didn't expect to. But Becca is still corny as fuck. Thomas matches that energy. Mm-hmm. She's still hella corny based on like how, like, even like how she does her promotion for her wine stuff, like even just like the dancing, the music, all that stuff, it's giving corny. But yes, they be corny together, so exactly. I'm gonna let them be works. Happy
It works for them, so, you know, it works for us. I love them together. Honestly, they are one of the best Paradise couples. They should have brought them on the show. Honestly.
Yeah.
Thomas and Beck. Honestly, they, to me, feel like one of the more successful couples on this show because they don't, they're not problematic. They don't look to be toxic. Like, she is absolutely smitten by this man. He is absolutely smitten by her. And it's just beautiful, and I love it. So, congrats to them.
I agree. Congrats to them. I am happy for them. I would love to be invited to the wedding. I would love to just, you know, I'd love to be invited to the wedding. So, I just saying, you can invite me to the wedding. That's fine.
Watch them get married on Paradise next year or something.
I don't think Becca would do that.
You don't think so?
No. I think that there's a reason that she and Thomas have kept their relationship public yet private at the same time. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. like even when she proposed to him, they told us like a month later. Like I think that she doesn't want the franchise all in her business like that. Because mm-hmm. even, I don't even think he got her a Neil Lane ring. Think about that. Because Ashley and Jared, her ring is Neil Lane because mm-hmm. they proposed on Paradise. I think that they're deliberately keeping the mm-hmm. franchise out of those parts of their relationship.
Which honestly, I wouldn't fault them for that. You know, like I honestly would not fault them for that because like this franchise is pretty toxic. I'm not going to lie to you. So, so I do hope they stay far away from the franchise. But at the same time, I can see the franchise being like, hey, you got together on Paradise. We need something. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll
yeah.
see what to give them. Throw them a bone.
I think it's the same thing also like with Noah and Abigail. Like they're not engaged, but I think it's the same sort of thing. Also, mm-hmm. Brendan and Piper, apparently they're in couples therapy because they want to be, not because they feel like they have to be. They're like, oh, we
I
both have our individual.
Broken up.
No. They've been together this whole time.
Oh, I thought they had broken up.
Nah, they've been together. I think they live together now or something.
Oh wow! Okay.
But they're in couples therapy together, and I think mm-hmm. that's good for. I think every couple should go through couples therapy, mm-hmm. whether it's you know because of issues or not. Like it's more like a check-in, right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes meeting with your therapist individually don't be working like that. Sometimes y'all need to work shit out together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm an advocate for couples therapy for couples, even if you're not married or about to mm-hmm. get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like some of my friends have like, confided that they also go to couples therapy as more of like a preventative thing, not as because there's a, like we have this problem to fix it. You know, it's more like we want to make sure we stay good. So I honestly admire that, you know, like sometimes you need a third party to be like, hey, to call you out on your shit. Honestly, like if you all of us have shit. All of us. You have shit. Your partner has shit. Sometimes you're not aware of your shit. Sometimes you're not aware of the shit you do to each other. So it's totally helpful to have a third party be like, all right, this is your shit. This is your shit. This is what you need to work on. So yay for therapy. Love my therapist.
Shout out to therapy. I need to get with my therapist, actually. I need to find a new one. Because since your girl moved to DC, obviously, you know, it's you got to find people now within your new health insurance mm-hmm. network. So it's not always, and a lot of therapists can't practice across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a whole different thing. I gotta figure that out.
I don't think my therapist can either, but we just do it anyway. Y'all didn't hear me say that. I
mean, technically, you're not practicing across state lines. You still have your, you know, connection through, you know, wherever you were living. You're just on vacation right now out of the country.
On extended vacation for a year.
It's not the same thing. It's different. But like, I think like within the US, they have like really weird mm-hmm. things around that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I got dumped from a therapist. I got dumped by a therapist for that one time because I went to visit my mom in Virginia and I was in Virginia for like 6 weeks and she was like, oh, if it's longer than 2 weeks, then I can't see you anymore. And she broke up with me.
Yikes. That must have been painful.
What? I need you. Whatever.
Yeah, that shit must hurt.
It was for the best, honestly. She wasn't that great, I'm not gonna lie.
then you know what? You're in a better place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So everything happens for a reason, people. It happens for a reason.
Sure the fuck does. Okay. Is there anything else going on that we need to talk about? I feel like there's tons of things happening that we're just like, you know.
I don't really know anything else like Bachelor Nation news-wise. We covered the tweets. We covered mm-hmm. Becca and Thomas. I don't know anything else going on in Bachelor Nation. So I think that's it until Paradise next week. And then watch us say that and then something happens tomorrow.
it's always that way. The second it's Lex always. And I put out something, some shit always pops off. And yes. I'm always so mad.
And then we talk about it late. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, though. Y'all come for us for the commentary. Don't matter where.
Correct. Correct.
Anyway, if that's it for you, Jen, then that's it for me. Thank y'all for tuning in for another week of the Blatchelorettes. I'm Lex, she's Jen, and we are the Blatchelorettes. Catch you next time.
Bye, y'all.